singing this morning, say amen. What a blessing. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Philippians, right after the book of Ephesians in your New Testament, Philippians chapter number 1. And I'm going to read some of my favorite scripture this morning and just share a little thought with you. Philippians chapter number 1, y'all say amen when you get there.
Amen.
I don't want to take off without you. Philippians chapter number 1. Everybody got it?
Amen.
Philippians chapter number 1. Let's look at verse number 1. We'll just read a few verses. The Bible says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And verse number 6 is where I really want to center in on this morning. He said, being confident of this very thing. Let me just stop right there for a second and ask you a question. Is there anything in your life that you are confident about? Is there anything in your life that you know what confidence is? That's sure. Is there anything you're just sure about? Oh, Brother Tony Shirley, he'll be here during our camp meeting. Brother Tony, when during the preaching, he don't say amen, brother. He says sure. He likes that. Amen. He says sure. So is there anything you're sure about this morning? Paul said, being confident of this very thing. He said, this thing we can be sure about, what is it? He said that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
You know what he said? This is what we're confident in. This is what we're sure about. The one who started it will finish it.
Yes, sir.
Amen? He will continue the work that he started in you. I always think about that little song, and I've quoted it 1,000 times from the pulpit. Probably one of my favorite all-time songs. He's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Amen. He's still working on me. I'm not what I used to be. Thank God. Thank God. Somebody say amen right there. You ain't what you used to be, but you still ain't all that. Can I say it again? You ain't what you used to be, but you still ain't all that. Some of us think we have arrived and we ain't even got started on the journey. Some of you are crippled too high for crutches, man. I don't have a hard time looking down my nose at people, because I spend enough time looking down my nose at me. Amen? I thank God I ain't what I used to be. And thank God they some of you in here ain't what you used to be. I'm sure glad Sister Edwina ain't what she used to be. Amen. I'm sure glad Brother David ain't what he used to be, and Brother Allen ain't what he used to be, and old Chris ain't what he used to be, and thank God Sheila ain't what she used to be. Amen. Thank God we can rejoice in that. I'm not what I used to be, but thank God I still ain't what I'm going to be. Amen. I mean, that remains to be seen, bro. You know, we ain't never going to really arrive till we get rid of this body of flesh.
Right.
And if we will allow God to work on us, He'll do it till He comes for us.
Amen.
Here's the question this morning. Is He still working on you? The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 19 and verse number 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. This universe that we live in is a great big billboard for the Lord. As we drive down the interstate, you see billboard after billboard, and they're advertising this, and they're advertising car insurance, and truck stops up ahead, and hotels up ahead, and I saw one the other day, a billboard for a divorce lawyer. I thought, good night, man. What a stupid thing, a divorce attorney. You're in bad shape if you get a divorce attorney off a billboard on the interstate. Amen. But they're all advertising something. But if you'll walk out to your door tonight, if we've got a clear sky and you look up into the heavens and you see the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper and you see the stars and the planets and the moon and you see all that, you know what that is? That's God's advertisement. Amen. Yeah. Hey, somebody said, what if you couldn't read or how would you even know there's a God? Hey, man, them pagans way back yonder knew that there was a God. It don't take anybody that's got a brain can look up at the heavens and say, yep, there is a God. I don't think that come from no explosion. I'm going to come on. You ain't got a brain if you believe that. Have y'all ever seen anything blow up? It leaves nothing pretty. We used to blow stuff up all the time when I was a kid when they had them real M80s. Did you know four of them made a stick of dynamite? You could blow a stump out of the ground with them. They would take a mailbox clean off the post, so I heard. And it's absolutely amazing what they'd do to the toilets at the Paulding County High School. So I heard. But if you ever blowed something up, it just leaves a mess. Now, I don't know about you. I've never been to the Grand Teton Mountains. I'd love to go. That's not a mess. Man, that's a thing of beauty. That's artwork. Did you know artists down through the ages, you know what they do? They copy what God's originals. Amen. They copy what God has already made. Amen. What a God we serve. I mean, boy, the Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Man, when you look at what God's done, it's just amazing what a God we serve. Amen. But here's the most amazing thing. It's not His favorite work. It's not. He done that in 6 days. Rested on the seventh. He created it all, set it all into motion and said, done. He's been working on me for 22 years. 23 now. 23 years He's been doing it. He must really love me. And He must really love you. Years ago, they said they had a multi-billion dollar project, the scientists did, to determine what actually happened during creation. How this thing really came to be. Was it the Big Bang Theory? How did it really all work? Did an atom split off and all this good stuff. And they got this great big computer. Biggest computer in the world, by the way. It's called the Beast. Y'all ever heard of it? And they fed all this data into this computer about creation and how old the rocks are and blah, blah, blah. And they fed all this information. Took months and months and months. And finally, boy, they put it all in there and they hit the button for the answer on the computer and it hummed and snorted and spit and wheezed and it printed out a piece of paper. It simply said, see Genesis 1:1. Amen. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure out God did this thing. Yet the work He takes the greatest pride in is not the Grand Teton Mountains. It's not Ruby Falls. It's not all these beautiful sights that we can travel and see. It's not the Great Barrier Reef. It's me and you. It's me and you. Here's the question for you this morning. Have you ever in your Christian life got to where you felt like you were at a standstill? Do you remember? Wake him up. Do you remember when you first got saved? And it just seemed like every time you came to church, it was brand new every time. Everything the preacher preached, man, you'd go, wow, man, how did he get that? I never saw that before. Everything was just amazing. God was just doing the work. And boy, it was awesome. It's almost like a honeymoon period. But now you've got to a place to where you've just been the same for a long time. Can I just simply say to you this morning, we may never even get to the rest of this message, but that's not God's will for your life. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That is not God's will for your life. He wants you to continue to grow and continue to get closer in your walk with Him. He wants you to continue to grow in knowledge in that Word. He wants you to continue to have a more sincere and a deeper prayer life. Hey, God still wants to work on you. Our problem is we don't want to be worked on. I said again, He's got a work that He wants to continue and perform it, like Paul said. Our problem is we don't want to be worked on. Because sometimes when He works on us, something's got to go. Amen. That's what He does. He takes one thing out and puts something better in. Amen. Problem is we don't want Him working on us. One of the kids came in this morning, I think it was Sierra, and she pulled her lip down. She had a busted lip. I said, "What happened?" She said, "Don't never play dentist with Brother Alan Parker's boys." I thought that was stupid to begin with. I hate going to the dentist with passion. I got teeth needs working on right now. Oh, I hate it. I'd rather have my foot amputated or something. I don't like it. I go in there and sit in that chair and they'll treat me like a little baby. Okay, now open up. I can't stand it. I don't want to be worked on, but I know if I allow the work to go on, it'll be better when it's over. I know if I allow the doctor to do what he's been trained to do and what he knows to do and what I can't do myself, that when this thing is over, we may have to go through a little pain getting there, but when it's over, the big pain will be gone. Somebody say amen. Is God still working in your life? Let's look at this verse just for a minute, and we'll go to the house. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, where? In you. In you. You know, everybody wants God to work through us. We want God to use us. But before He can do that, He's got to work in us. Now this work that God's doing, it's an individual work. Amen. He said, this work which He hath begun, where? In you. He didn't say in y'all. He's addressing the church at Philippi, but why come he didn't? If he's addressing the whole church, why didn't he say that work that he hath begun in y'all? No, he brought that thing on down personal, didn't he? The work which he hath begun in you. It's an individual work. We spend a lot of our times wanting to compare ourselves to this person or that person. And my wife could fuss at me about something and I could say, well, at least I'm not bad as Jason. Yeah. Or at least I'm not as bad as Brother Dwayne. It's easy to compare yourself to somebody else. But you know what? God's doing an individual work in him, but he's also Amen. Doing an individual work on me. I have no right to compare myself to Brother Greg or to the Brother Dwayne or Brother Jason or anybody else. Hey, you want to compare yourself to somebody this morning? Compare yourself to Jesus and see how short you come up. Amen. Amen. It is an individual work. I know God can speak to our church as a whole, but this work, this thing of Christian growth, it's an individual work. Amen. I'm glad He's still working on me. Amen. Is He still working on you? Or let me rephrase this. Has he ever worked on you? Has he ever worked on you? This verse is a reference to saved people. Let me say it again. This verse is a reference to saved people. He's talking to people who are born again. Listen, man, we've said it 1,000 times. Salvation's just the beginning. If you're here this morning, you're lost. Hey, our prayer, I prayed for you this morning that you'd get saved today.
Yeah.
I did. I prayed that you'd trust Christ as your Savior right here this morning. But that's just the beginning. We've used the illustration over and over and over. We got a foyer out there or a vestibule, whatever you want to call it. That's just the entrance to the building. I can walk into that foyer this morning and I'm really physically, I would be in the Happy Valley Baptist Church. But I've got to open those next set of doors and go further to be in the service. Am I right about it? Salvation's just the place where you got in, friend. And if you've never been saved, hey, the Lord will open the door and he'll let you in. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if you'll open, I'll come in. He'll save your soul this morning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a reference to saved people. Once He gets you saved, once your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then He can begin to work on your life.
Amen.
Here's the dilemma a lot of people face. I did for years and years and years. The Lord would deal with my heart about salvation. You know what I'd say? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be like all them other hypocrites down at the church. Go to church on Sunday and shout hallelujah and cuss on Monday. I just ain't going to do that. You know what I thought? I couldn't live it. Well, if I get saved, man, there ain't no way I can do this, and there ain't no way I can do that, and I have to change my whole vocabulary, and I know I can't do that. You know what? Getting saved was the prerequisite to God to take care of all the other things.
Amen.
There is not. Listen, man, you don't need reform. You need reborn. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need new life. Amen.
Yeah.
What I found out was, once I got saved, then the work that the Lord was trying to do came a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
Greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. What I found out after I got saved was, hey, this ain't as bad as I thought it was going to be, because it's not me doing the work, it's Him performing the work. Somebody said, boy, I'm so proud of you and what you've become and what you've done. No, what you don't understand is it ain't me, it's Him.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 You know what? You ain't ever done anything good. We live in a society that has a hard time of that. We want to pay preachers big money to tell us how special and wonderful and precious we are. There ain't nothing good about you.
Amen.
You say, oh, I have you know there is. Well, if it is, it's Jesus.
Amen.
You say, where do you get off? Oh, it ain't me, it's the book. The Bible said there's none good, no, not one. The Bible also says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are guilty. Amen. So what I found out after I got saved, it wasn't me all along, it's Him. Amen. If I'm able to stand and preach a gospel message like I'm doing my best to do this morning, it's not me, it's Him. So He's referencing saved people. Has He even begun that work in you? Are you saved? But not only is he talking to saved people, but He's talking to submitted people. He's talking to people. You know, God cannot work, and I've already got a little ahead of myself, but God can't work on you if you won't let Him. Can I say that again? Well, let me put it another way. God ain't going to make you do nothing.
Amen.
I was under the impression for years and years that God would get you in a pigeonhole or get your arm behind your back, and God would make you do this, and God ain't never made you do anything. God wants you to serve Him because you love Him. God wants you to live for Him because you love Him. He wants you to will to serve Him. He wants you to want to. He ain't going to make you. But what we've got to do is we've got to pray that God would give us a submissive heart. The first prerequisite to this work is salvation. But the second is submission. We have a choice. We can either be soft as clay, or we can be solid stone in His hand. There's some of you, that used to be soft. Oh, I could watch you during the service. They would get up and sing like they did this morning, and tears would roll. Well, your heart was tender, and God was just shaping and molding your life. But something's happened over the years. Whether it be hurt feelings, a wayward child, a divorce, I don't know, but something's happening. You've just got hard. Nothing seems to stir you anymore. We need to get back to the place where we submit ourselves into the hand of God and say, God, make me moldable again. God, make me pliable again. God, make my heart soft and tender again. I think something's wrong with a church where nobody ever sheds a tear. Can I say it again? Something's wrong with a church where nobody ever sheds a tear.
Well, that's just emotion.
So is that sour look on your face.
Amen.
What's the difference? Woo! That's an emotion. So is that. I'm getting tired of people saying, oh, y'all just emotional. We're all emotional. We're emotional beings. That's our makeup. Love is an emotion. Joy is an emotion. Amen. So is a scowl look. So is a frown. Say amen right there. Let's ask God to get us a little bit more emotional. Somebody say, oh, y'all down south. That's what them Yankees always say. Down south, y'all just too emotional. So are they when it comes to a Pittsburgh Steelers game. Amen. William Booth. Anybody know who William Booth was? The founder of Salvation Army. On one occasion, he was called before Queen Victoria. And the Queen asked him, General Booth, what is the secret of your ministry? How is it that others are so pale, so pallid, so powerless, so weak, and you're so mighty? And Booth looked into the face of his queen, tears streaming down his face. He replied, Your Majesty, I guess the reason is because God has all there is of me. What a statement. Does God have all there is of you? Does He? Most of us, if we're honest, we would probably admit we've given Him a part. We've got these little areas in our life that we've put up a no trespassing sign, even for God. Lord, I want you to help. I want you to work in my marriage and in my finance, but don't go in there. Don't go in there. Uh-uh. Now God says, I want it all or nothing. If I'm going to do this work in your heart and in your life, man, there's the Weathers boys. Y'all get kicked out of school? Surely not. I just seen them. I thought, amen. Have you got some off-limit areas? Come on, ask yourself in your heart. Is there places in my life, in my heart, maybe even in my thought process, where I really don't want God fooling around? Is He still working on you? Maybe we need to become like William Booth and just submit ourselves under the hand of God and say, God, here I am. Head to toe. All of it. I'm yours. You know what you're afraid of? You're afraid of what He'll do with you.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen, son.
You're afraid of what He'll do with you. Listen, you can't beat it. You can't beat it. I was watching a show on television the other day, and Lord forgive me, it may have even been, I shouldn't tell this, it may have even been MTV, I ain't sure. I was in a hotel and just flipping through, but they were restoring cars. So I don't know the name of the show or nothing like that, but I love that kind of stuff. And they brought this old rag piece of junk car in, and they said, what do you want? And here's what the guy said, you're the master. Surprised me. And I thought, boy, if a guy can do that with an old beat up car, maybe I could come to the master with an old beat up life and say, God, I don't know what I want. You're the master. You know what's best. God, you just surprised me. Woo! Hallelujah. I never would have dreamed in a million years when He picked me up on a bus when I was 4 years old that I'd be standing preaching to Him one day. I never could imagine that. Man, I'm glad God knows what He's doing. Ain't you happy about it? I might get excited this morning. Woo! Just surprise us, Lord. My soul. If somebody said you're going to be a preacher, I'd said, you got rocks in your head. Now there ain't nothing I'd rather do.
Yeah,
amen. One of the men asked me this morning, said, preacher, you got to do any hunting? No. Been preaching too much. You know what? I love to hunt, but you know what I found out? I like this better.
Yeah.
I love to fish, but I like this better.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll hunt if one jumps out in the road in front of my truck. Roadkill, amen. This verse is a reference to saved people, but it's also a reference to submitted people. You know what our problem is? We don't want to submit. We don't want to submit. And by saying what I'm fixing to say, I'm not implying anything. Please, I'm not implying anything. But will it take a tumor? That'll make you submit, won't it, hon? Will it take one on your brain? Will it take a broken neck? And there again, I'm not implying anything. This young couple right here, we buried a baby. I can take you to the spot where we stood on that hillside. You saying now that happened because, no, I'm not implying anything. I'm just asking, what will it take? When you stand in an ICU examination room and see your son unconscious on a cold metal table, you'll submit. If you're his sister, you'll faint, but you'll submit. But wouldn't it be much better if we just came before him this morning without a tumor?
Yes.
Without a broken neck? Without a death? Without a son in a coma? And say, God, I surrender now. Far as I know, everything's good in my life, but God, I just want to surrender my will to yours. You say, why y'all always raise your hand? You know what that signifies? Surrender.
Amen.
When the cops get after a criminal and they pull that gun, they say, put your hands where?
There.
Over your head. Surrender. I give. What's keeping you from giving up? This little boy sitting here hollering, good preaching. I watched him fight for year after year after year. I saw his life go through tragedy after tragedy and trouble after trouble. I'm glad one day he walked in this church. And finally, for the first time in his life, he said, God, I give. And you ain't had to be around here long to watch what God's done in his life. What happened? He surrendered. It's an individual work. And I got to quit. But it's an inward work. You say, well, preacher, you look the same. You ain't. No, you can't see what God's doing. You can't see. I worry about some of this crowd. And I've got friends who may be listening to the radio this morning. And I don't want to hurt their feelings. But I remember as a kid growing up, Brother Jay, this was the doctrine. You get saved, and you need to shave your mustache and get your hair cut just like this and wear these clothes just like this and do just like this and go just like this. And it was all these rules. And I agree with them. We need that. We need standards as Christians. But before we get all this, we better get this. Are you listening? Are you listening?
Amen.
Preacher's hitting on money. Money, 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 money. And we need it worse than any church I know. You know why I don't stay after your wallet so much? Because if I can just get God to get your heart,
yeah.
Don't got to worry about the wallet.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important to have your hair right, and it's important to do right. I seen one preacher, and I love him. He walked to the front row in a revival meeting, looked at a man just like Brother Shane, said, if you'd shave that mess off your lip, God might save you. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said was wrong with those Pharisees. He said, boys, y'all got it backwards. He said, you're cleaning the outside of the cup in the platter. He said, but the inside's like a sepulcher, like a grave. It's full of dead men's bones.
Yeah.
He said, you got the outside looking right. You know what? All rules will do is oppress you. And what you've got won't last very long. It's an inward work. He which hath begun a work where? In you. In you. Hey, stay with me. I'd much rather see a woman wear a pair of breeches to church and let God work on her heart than obey my rules and God nowhere near her. We okay with that this morning? Boy, some of the brethren crucify me. They listen, I'll never preach for them again, I know. I just broke all the Baptist doctrine. Maybe that's what we ought to do. And get back to the place where we realize we're real people and we got real problems and for the most part we're all a real mess and we just need to surrender our lives to God and allow God to do a work down inside my heart. That well of water, he told that woman at the well he'd give her. Where did he say he'd put it? In her. Not on her. In her. You get the inside working right, you ain't got to worry about that outside. I ain't got to ask nobody how I should cut my hair. Y'all okay? I ain't got to ask nobody, should I go get a tattoo? I get the inside right. Whoa, watch it get cold right there. Did y'all just turn the air down? I don't have to ask those questions. Why? I got somebody giving me the answers from the inside. Well, well, well. He which hath begun a work in you. It's an individual work. And it's an inward work. Is he still working on you? How long's it been? I got two more points. I'm going to quit right here. How long's it been since God made a change in your life? How long has it been since you felt convicted about anything? We're living in a country that no longer has convictions. Anything goes, everything's all right. Everything ain't all right. I still believe in sin. Nobody has sin anymore. They have a sickness or a disease. No, it's sin. How long has it been since God convicted you of something?
Amen.
It's been a few months ago now. It's when the kids were making the CD. And Brother Warren, it's all his fault. He had me lie to Todd. I mean, bald face sitting right there in the church. I lied to him eyeball to eyeball. I'm just being honest with you. That we had a piece of equipment up there. What they didn't know was we was recording them in the service and they didn't know it. Todd said, what's that new equipment? I said, oh, we're just trying out something. Well, I sat down in that chair over there. I mean, it's just a lie. I mean, y'all do it every day. If that's for me, I ain't here. But I sat down in that chair right there and God plowed my road. He said, man, you just lied in the church house. You just lied to your son-in-law. I said, yeah, but that wasn't a lie. That was, we're the means to an end here. We're trying. You want to preach this morning? Well, yeah, Lord. You want me to help you? You go over and tell him you lied to him. Yeah, I'm talking about in the middle of service. I got to get up and go over there and say, Todd, I just lied to you. He said, what? I said, I'm sorry, man. I lied to you. We're recording you. It's Warren's fault. It's that deacon you gave me, Lord. I don't want to get to the place where I've arrived and I'm no longer convicted. I want the Lord to still be able to say, hey, boy. him. Stop that. That ain't right and you know it. Get it right.
Amen.
You know what that shows? He's still working on me. Do you ever get so tore up about yourself? Am I all by myself in here? I mean, do you ever just get plumb mad? I cannot believe I did that again. You know what? That's God convicting your heart. I don't want us to get like the majority of our country where nothing bothers us anymore. That stinking television and Hollywood has numbed us to so much.
Yes, you're right. Amen.
You know what it did with homosexuality, don't you?
Yeah.
They made us think it was funny.
Yeah.
I can get you to accept anything that you laugh at.
Yeah. Good.
Don't dry up on me. Whew. It's an individual work.
Yeah.
An individual work. Has begun a good work in you.
Yeah.
He's referring to saved people. That's the beginning of the work.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's referring to submitted people. God, I give up.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want to do in my life. Listen, just because you submit to God don't mean you're going to be a pastor.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
We can't all be pastors. Who are we going to preach to?
You're right.
He may just want you to be a faithful husband. Amen. He may just want you to be a good dad. He may just want you to be a prayer warrior. I preached on prayer Wednesday night, and Brother Charles stopped me after church. He said, "Brother Eddie, I don't mean nothing bad by this." He said, "But I was thinking the whole time you was preaching." He said, "I've probably only known 5 real prayer warriors in my lifetime." He said, "You know what? I think it's a ministry, a calling." And he looked over at Brother Shane. And he said, "I believe Shane Reese is a prayer warrior." That's what he said. Charles Dyer. That's a compliment, brother. He said, "I believe Shane Reese." He said, "I believe my father-in-law, J.M. Brooks, was a prayer warrior." Maybe that's just what God wants you to do. Maybe He wants you to sing a special. Maybe He wants you to teach a class. Maybe He wants you to run a bus route. But you'll never know till you get willing to give up. You know what I've done with my own children? My own son. He may not want this told, but Brother Capace, the pastor and the president of the college out there, approached him this past week. There's a church about an hour and a half away from where he's at. And Brother Capace wants to recommend Levi to be their pastor. He said, "What do you think, Dad?" I said, "I think you lost your mind." I said, "You coming home, Jack." Do you know what I got thinking about that, Cora? That's just my will. That's just what I want. What if it's not what God wants? What if I force my will on my son and he comes back here to work with me, and because of being in the wrong place, their marriage don't make it? Boy, what a good dad I've been. I don't want the Lord. It's not my desire for Him to send my children nowhere. I'd love for them to stay right here with me, all the grandbabies that we're going to have, I'd just love to keep everybody right here.
Yeah.
Do you know what would be better? God's perfect will for their life.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what I've got to do? Not just be willing to surrender myself. I've got to be willing to surrender my children.
Yes, sir.
God, whatever you want in my boy's life, if it means only getting to see him one time a year, if that's your will. Eric Knight called. He said, "If you don't care when Levi graduates," he said, "I want to recommend to this church that we hire him as our youth pastor." I said, "I care." Don't even mention it to him. That's my will. I told you a long time ago how to get anything you want. Anything you want, anything your heart desires. You know how to get it? Just want what He wants. Just want what God wants. You'll get it every time. But very few of us really just want what God wants.
Right.
Let's stand to our feet this morning. Is he still working on you? Or has he ever worked on you? While they're getting ready for an invitation song this morning, I wonder if we could just bow our heads for a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Ain't nobody looking around. I wonder if there's one here today that say, Pastor, I've never been saved. If I died just like I am, I'm afraid heaven would not be my home. Please pray for me. I won't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. God bless you, son. Is there anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. God bless you, buddy. I see your hand. God bless you, son. I see your hand. Preacher, he's never even begun to work in me. If you can really know heaven's going to be your home when you die, I'd sure like to get that settled in my heart. Ain't nobody looking around. You just put your hand up and put it right back down. I'm just going to pray for you. God bless you, bud. God bless you, son. Maybe you say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. But I'm really afraid the Lord hadn't really been working on me lately. Pray that I just submit myself unto Him again and allow Him to work in my life. God bless your hearts. Hands all over this building. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you again today, thank you, Lord God, for a good day. Lord, thank you for good liberty to preach your word. Father, I pray you'd help our people. You saw the hands. God, you know the hearts. Do exactly what's needed in this altar call, and we'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.